This whole country was founded by white men, angry white men who rebelled against the king, kept slaves, practically owned women. Women, of course, couldn't vote. And it just feels like it's been like this all along in a way.
Yeah, it was angry white men who wrote our Constitution and founded our country. And I don't know how we're going to overtake that, but
it's hard to think about how they'll be willing to step back from hundreds of years of really of being in charge, in power. Who wants to step back from that? What's the benefit to them?
Welcome to the Shrinks on Third Psychology and Social Justice Podcast. I'm psychologist Cindy Ariel.
And I'm psychologist Julie Mayer. Come on in. Today, we'll be talking about angry white men. They seem to be popping up in the last 4 years more than ever. But they were out there before then, gunning down school children, shooting up concerts, and way before that, lynching black men, and feeling entitled to own and abuse other human beings based on the color of their skin or even their gender. What is up with angry white men?
Angry white men are scary. I just had a patient tell me about an altercation with a neighbor who simply asked who they were voting for or who they voted for, and they went off on a threatening tirade. When we look at the mass killers, they're mostly white males. Vigilantes on the streets that we've seen, also white males. Many people don't like the idea or the term of toxic masculinity, but this seems to be the definition of toxic masculinity at its worst. Toxic masculinity has to do with stereotypical masculine traits at their extreme, such as suppressing emotion and hyper-competitiveness that are destructive and can lead to misogyny and violence. This is not even good for the men who exhibit it. It even has negative health benefits.
I would think so. They get all wound up. It's like blood pressure and pulse. It must not be good for their health.
Yeah. And I do want to add here that we're not attacking manhood itself. We're, in fact, letting men know that we believe they can do better. Testosterone might enable aggression, but it doesn't cause it. Also, it's whiteness. It's white men perpetuating or trying to perpetuate white supremacy. Of course, it's not all white men. Not all white men are scary and angry, but it seems that the most violent and angry men we see are white.
There's a lot of other crime, but it seems that when it's people going after innocent groups of people, like at a school, a movie theater, a church, it always turns out to be the white guys.
It's the white guys who have had the power for so long, they don't want to give it up. They don't know how to share it and don't realize that, in fact, sharing some power will actually make all of us stronger.
Oh no, they definitely don't think that. Recently, they plotted against Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan. They marched on Charlottesville with tiki torches. I mean, how ridiculous, like lit up torches? What is going on? They form secret clubs like the Ku Klux Klan and the Proud Boys. Why are they so filled with hatred? They've been the historically most powerful group in America, and they don't seem to be all about equality. They do like having power over others, and when they lose economic advantage, they get very angry. They seem to feel entitled to having power over other people.
They totally do. Pulling angry white men together in groups such as the KKK and Proud Boys magnifies the danger that they are. They're validated, they're stronger in numbers. According to the Southern Poverty Law Center, there are 36 hate groups in Pennsylvania alone.
Wow.
10 of them operate out of Philadelphia.
That's horrifying. There's that many hate groups.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean there's not others in Philadelphia, but there's only 10 with their headquarters there.
Okay.
Yeah. So the others may also have members or chapters or whatever they call them in Philly as well. Their aggression then feeds off of each other, and their beliefs that they have a legitimate target, women, minorities, immigrants, someone they feel are weaker and that they have the right to attack, someone they feel is less than them or is an enemy.
I do think that they get together and sort of gear each other up with hatred. I think about the Gretchen Whitmer situation, and I know that they met in like some vacuum company basement or something, just, you know, agitating one another to the point where they really had a plot, which is very scary.
Yeah, that's what they do. What I didn't realize before or didn't want to believe is how strongly they've been growing and waiting in the wings for a new leader. This is actually one of the big lessons that my parents tried hard to instill in me.
Yeah.
The Nazis are there and we don't know who we can trust, and they're just waiting and gathering forces. This was left over from my mom's takeaways from Nazi Germany, but still I tried not to listen to her about it. And yet now we see it. I kind of saw her as paranoid in this, and I still don't want to see it as bleakly as she did, but here they are.
My parents were the same way, and I thought they were paranoid about human evil, like they were exaggerating it. And, you know, the Nazis were horrible, but it's hard to imagine that in this country there'd be people like that. This is supposed to be the greatest country, even though I know it isn't. But I guess, you know, our parents really learned from what they lived through and tried to help us see that. So now what we have is the horrible orange leader connecting these angry white men to each other and around their grievances. They're openly hating immigrants, people of color, women. They're just open about it now in a way that they weren't before he became president.
Exactly. They don't like anyone who isn't just like them.
I think they have a fantasy that this country used to be a certain way and still should be, you know, like a bastion of whiteness. Since the 1960s, they've been losing power, white men. Before that, they really didn't have to compete with women or people of color in the workplace.
They actually don't even think that women or people of color are worth competing against. There's a lot of information out there about the fact that many of these men believe women, and of course, to them, people of color, should be property. Misogyny is often the bait that gets them into these hate groups, and it's also the glue that holds them together. It's their hatred towards women that starts the whole thing.
Well, they were privileged and dominated everywhere, from their homes to all of American politics, you know, for generations. Civil rights and equal right movements have made them feel attacked. Economic changes since the 1970s, like the decline of manufacturing, has made their success less assured. Education is expensive and can be exclusive. And the increase in income inequality has meant that these white men have had a much harder time achieving their American dream, and they feel entitled to it. You know, when you think about it, Cindy, this whole country was founded by white men. Angry white men who rebelled against the king, kept slaves, practically owned women. Women, of course, couldn't vote. And it just feels like it's been like this all along in a way.
Yeah, it was angry white men who wrote our Constitution and founded our country. And I don't know how we're going to overtake that, but
it's hard to think about how they'll be willing to step back from hundreds of years of being in charge, in power. Who wants to step back from that? What's the benefit to them?
We're going to have to make them an offer they can't refuse. I'm not talking about sex either.
Oh, good. No, but men carrying tiki torches is not sexy anyway.
No, we have to make it, you know, more than worth their while to change.
But that's a huge challenge, you know, to figure that out. Is it that we need to make the educational system broader? Do we have to introduce them to a wider variety of people when they're young? I mean, what is it that we need to do for young men so that they don't grow up like this?
Well, education is expensive and the American dream is elusive for a lot of people, but we don't see other people getting this violent about it the way these white guys do. Maybe not feeling as entitled as they do. There are so many mental health issues that are bound up in the anger of these types of men. They usually have been victims themselves and have really low self-worth.
But you know, a lot of them don't feel like they've been victims. If their dad beat them up, it made them stronger. Like, they justify what I would think of as abuse. They might not see it that way.
Right. They think, it worked for me. Look how great I turned out. If you couple negative feelings toward themselves with hate towards others, like a group that they believe or are led to believe is getting something that they deserve, this breeds in some people a kind of hostility that is just beyond.
Yeah.
They feel bad, and because they feel so bad, they want to make others feel worse. Because they're scared, they want to make others feel even more so. There's so much internal shame carried around by these guys. We're seeing more of these hate groups, and they validate each other. They feel belonging, perhaps for the first time. But none of this lets them off the hook in any way or is any excuse or reason for hate. It's just maybe a way to look at the issue and try to understand so that we can use the information to make changes that will cut down on this piece of illness and antisocial behavior.
I actually feel like the issue of shame is huge. Most of these guys don't realize that they have a ton of shame inside. And the way they fend it off is with their anger. I see it in my practice. I've seen it for years. And so here's this mass example of groups of men fending off shame by joining forces in their anger, rage, hostility toward others. I don't forgive them, and I don't think it's okay either, but I do think that's how I understand it, that these are really shame-filled people. You know, there's this myth in America, obviously, of the self-made man, and there's right-wing radio talk and Fox News, and it just stirs these guys up into a frenzy. They're feeling validated by all this. They seem to be so frustrated and not getting what they think they deserve that they lash out. And when they join forces, they support each other, like you said, and then they develop these crazy plots like the one for Gretchen Whitmer. As a society, we absolutely need to address the underlying causes if we're going to understand them. It's hard to help someone who's so angry and hates you, but it's really important that we try to help them to become more functional members of society somehow.
Yes, and in the meantime, they need to experience consequences for their poor choices and horrendous behavior. It can't be allowed to stand the way we've seen it recently. It's on all of us to teach and expect more from our boys and men and not let them off the hook ever for toxic masculinity, for their hatred, or for their violent or threatening behavior.
Yeah, these groups and individuals have to be exposed and brought to justice wherever and whenever we can. They need to understand that what they're coming up with in somebody's basement is criminal behavior.
Well, I think it's so system-wide, and that's like what we're working on and so many people are working on. What I read about, like, you know, what the Black socialists call dual power, doing what you think is right and making it work, even with these white men in power, until such time as we have a better world in place.
Yeah, it feels like it's going to be generation after generation, and that we need to raise our boys to be loving, caring, not shame-filled people, and teach them how to manage the anger that they do have in a constructive way rather than destructive. It just feels like we have to agree that that's the best way to raise males.
Yes, in a slower, more measured way. I mean, yes, that is something that has to be done too. But I think we could also do more in a way as we go. Yes, we have to expect more out of boys and teach them well and better.
Make it okay for them to have feelings like sadness, tearfulness, fear. It feels like there's a lot of pressure on men in this country that they're not supposed to feel those things. And as a result, all their feelings get channeled into this little narrow window of rage.
And domination.
As a way to feel safe, because they really are scared. Otherwise, why would they need to be so angry? Scared and ashamed of themselves.
I think we can make change.
I hope so.
In terms of taking action against larger hate groups, there's one group that I've heard of called Life After Hate that's made up of former members of far-right extremist groups, and it helps them to come back.
Come back by leaving the extremist groups and join normal society?
Yes. Mm-hmm. They work with people to help them leave the white power groups or any group consumed by hate. I think it takes those kind of guys to understand, you know, fully what pushes them to the brink and helps bring them back. I saw the current executive director of Life After Hate and one of the founders, his name is Sammy Rangel. And I saw him at a talk at the University of Michigan. He had previously been called irredeemable by prison wardens and FBI types. As a Mexican American who experienced so much abuse and trauma and was in and out of prisons for really bad behavior, and he absolutely hated white people for good reason based on his own experience. And it was incredible, his talk. He now helps people who live in hate, and he no longer does. He works on that. And he got a standing ovation by students, and it was a lot of like lawyers and people like that there.
What an amazing transformation. So he was a hate-filled criminal, basically.
Yeah.
And now he helps run an organization, or he helped found an organization to turn people away from hate.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a super interesting organization. They're at lifeafterhate.org. No affiliation. I just think they're really cool. And also the Southern Poverty Law Center helps to fight hate and to teach tolerance. They track the hate groups across the United States. In fact, they have a very interesting map that they call the hate map, which you can find on their website at splcenter.org, where you can see where the US hate groups are being tracked across the nation. In 2019, they tracked 940 hate groups, and you can see where they are on this map.
That's really a huge number.
Oh, yeah.
So crazy that there are all these people joining together to hate people. It's just unbelievable. Yeah, the Southern Poverty Law Center tracks hate groups of all kinds, not just angry white men, though many of the hate groups that are not white still grew in response to white supremacy or treatment by white people. So again, we're not condoning hate or violence of any kind from anybody, but if we're looking to understand, we have to understand this too. According to the Southern Poverty Law Center, white extremist hate groups have grown 55% in the Trump era. Who here is surprised? Not me. So we as a society, we need to come up with a better immigration policy, better education and programs that lead people to jobs where they can make a decent life-sustaining living. We need to help them to accept the variety of races, cultures, ethnic groups we have in this country, not as threatening to them, but as in the same boat as them.
We also need to get better at teaching acceptance of other humans. We're not just in similar situations, we're literally the same, one race, the human race. Where you were born, what you look like, the color of your skin, has nothing to do with the kind of person you are. Unless you believe in hate or in things that expressly hurt others, whatever you believe doesn't make you a better or worse person. We all need to feel safe and have our basic needs for food, housing, and healthcare met. Love helps. Hate does nothing toward this goal.
Absolutely true. So that's our conversation on angry white men. Thanks for joining us today. If you want to learn more about the Shrinks on Third,
please feel free to reach out to us at shrinksonthird@gmail.com. And you can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Shrinks on Third. Thanks so much for listening. And until next time.
Take care.